Karl Marx, the man who wrote the Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital.
I was not born into poverty, but I hated the inequality between the very rich and the very poor. I spent my life through my writing fighting for equality. I believe that everybody, whatever their class and financial state, should have the same rights. I was born in 1818 in the city of Trier in Germany. My father was a lawyer, and my mother had more than a full-time job looking after my father, myself, and my eight brothers and sisters. We had a comfortable life. And I didn't go to school until I was 12, because until that point I had been educated at home by private tutors. After attending the high school in Trier for 5 years, I went to the University of Bonn and studied law. Like many students suddenly thrown into an adult world, I found myself in a bit of trouble. I got into debt, had fights, and once was even sent to prison. My father was not very pleased with my behaviour and insisted that I take my studies more seriously. At his suggestion, and as he was paying the bills, I didn't really have much choice, I moved to the University of Berlin, where I studied law and philosophy. In Berlin, I joined a group of students called the Young Hegelians, who were occupied with criticising the political and religious authorities. The group was based on the teachings of the philosopher Hegel. I was not, in the beginning, that interested in his theories, but I became an active member as my interest in politics grew. It was during this time that I met my future wife, Jenny von Westphalen. Jenny came from quite an upper-class family, and there were many people who were interested in her apart from me. She was also 4 years older than I was. We got engaged secretly and did not get married until 7 years later. In 1841, I got my doctorate in philosophy, but due to my political beliefs, which others saw as being extreme and unwelcome, I was not able to get a teaching position at the university. In fact, I was forced to leave altogether. The people in power were feeling increasingly threatened by the articles I was publishing, which demanded a better life for the poor. I went to live in Cologne, where I started a left-wing political newspaper. Then I moved to Paris for a short time, where Jenny and I got married. However, it didn't seem to matter where I went to live, because wherever I was, my views on life were unpopular. After Cologne, the city of Brussels in Belgium seemed to be a good place to live, and we stayed there for 2 years. I met my dear and lifelong friend Friedrich Engels, and also I became involved with people from the Communist League. The Communists believed that the government should own a country's wealth, its industry, property, and natural resources, and that it should be shared equally with everyone. They thought it was unfair that the upper classes and the aristocracy, who were a tiny minority of the population, should have so much, while the working classes had almost nothing. The Communist League asked me to write down the principles of communism in a document that could be read and used by everyone, which I did. I explained in my writing that the working class is exploited by the upper-class capitalists, whom I called the bourgeoisie. Capitalists get rich from the work done by the poor. The true value of something, goods or services, is the amount of work actually done. Any extra money that is made, profit, should belong to the people who did the work, and not the capitalists. The only way that this situation can be changed is if the workers have the power to make rules. This can only be done if working classes take power away from the capitalists by using force and violence. No wealth should belong to individuals, and all governments should be abolished. I ended with the following: working men of all countries, unite. My involvement in the League drew attention to my political views, and I made yet more enemies by speaking out for change and equality. I was accused of trying to cause a revolution, But I answered that if a revolution happened, it would be the poverty of the people, not me, that was responsible. The poor were in the majority, but they had no votes and therefore no power to change the situation. By 1849, many European countries were in the middle of bitter revolutions. And it was then that Engels and I, now back in Cologne, published the Communist Manifesto, which was based on the written work I had done for the Communist League. This was seen as a huge challenge to the civilized life enjoyed by the upper classes, and the continuous threats that were being made to my life made it necessary for me to leave Cologne, too. I had not shot or injured anyone, but I was seen as an enemy, so I decided we should move to London. There I could write and spread my message through my publications. Perhaps the British would be more open to hearing what I had to say. Living conditions in Berlin, Paris, and Brussels had been bad, but the poverty and misery in London were far worse than anything I had ever seen. The streets were full of people who had no choice other than to steal food or even pick out rotting food from the rubbish to survive. Many had no homes and were forced to live on the streets, which were filthy and full of rats. Then there was the workhouse. In 1834, the first workhouses were opened. They were supposed to be places where people who had absolutely nothing could go and live. The government was afraid that lazy people would take advantage, and so conditions inside were made incredibly brutal and humiliating. They did provide food and shelter for those who would have died otherwise, but they were widely hated, so much so that many preferred to take their chances out in the streets than face the shame and stigma of the workhouse. There had been much whispering of the word revolution, and a group called the Chartists had long been planning a series of political attacks. The Chartists were an organization that wanted the government to be elected in a fairer way. They wanted every man over the age of 21 to have the right to vote. At the time, only men who had property that could be rented for at least £10 a year could vote. This meant that 6 out of every 7 men did not have the right to vote. The Chartists were also campaigning for a more acceptable system of representation in the government. Large cities, where mainly poor people with no property lived, often did not have even one member of parliament representing them. Unfortunately, the Chartists were neither well organized nor successful. I agreed with their principles and set to work in the British Library, where it was only possible to get access if you could prove you were a serious researcher, to write the plan that would get rid of capitalism. This would be a plan that would remove the great class divides between the rich and the poor. My ideas were ahead of their time, as the people in London had not yet heard about communism. In the north of England, however, factory and mine workers started to join together to form unions to try and negotiate with the government over working conditions. New innovations like electricity and gas were comforts for those who already had comfortable lives. The living conditions of the poor, who would not have either electricity or gas for a long time, were not getting better. In fact, life became worse as more and more people were attracted to the large cities. The major cities, already too full, were becoming unbearably overcrowded as people like myself arrived from Europe. In 1845 to 1846, a terrible famine happened in Ireland when that year's potato crop failed. The potato was one of the basic foods in Ireland, and without it, people starved. The Irish who could travelled to other countries. Many moved to the USA, but many others came to England. By 1849, 20% of the population of London were now Irish, and like my family, they were all immigrants, people who had come from another country in search of a better life. We lived at 28 Dean Street, and paid £22 a year in rent for two basic rooms in very bad condition. It was very cramped, as we were a large family. My wife gave birth to seven babies, but only three of them lived to adulthood. This horrible situation was far from unusual, and I was sure the terrible conditions, the filth and poverty, played a major role in the high death rate among children. My family's accommodation and living standards were far better than some, even though I was not able to earn a living. Nobody would employ me, and if it had not been for the generous help of my friend, Engels, I do not think any members of my family would have survived at all. The Dukes of Bedford, Norfolk, and Westminster in their country estates were earning huge rents from the poor who had to live in filthy, disgusting conditions. We all lived in the same country, but it was as if we were in two different worlds. Ours, the working class, and the other that belonged to the upper class. I could not accept that a person who was unlucky enough to have been born into a poor family was forced to live a life of misery. Across the English Channel, many countries were in a state of anxious confusion, with people demonstrating in the streets to get better conditions. I was sure that this would happen in Britain too. After all, it was the place where the Industrial Revolution had begun. I spent my days researching and writing. A spectre is haunting Europe, I wrote. The spectre of communism. Looking around the miserable streets of London, I waited. Surely the working class would rise up and take action. But despite my best efforts to develop protest through my writing, there was no revolution. Some capitalists had produced useful innovations. In addition to the gas and electricity we already had, the invention of the telephone improved communications. But despite this, the working people continued to be exploited in industry and agriculture, in the factories and fields. My proposal was to have a revolution by democratic means. Let all men have the right to vote and elect the government of their choice. And then, if that was not successful, we would need to fight. From each according to his abilities, to each according to their needs. That was the message I was trying to communicate in Das Kapital, the most famous of all my books. I wanted to look in more depth at what I had outlined in the Communist Manifesto. I tried to explain how capitalism had developed and what its future might be. I focused on economic theory and described more fully the relationship between workers and capitalists, showing how workers are exploited and giving specific examples from the past. My aim was to demonstrate that capitalism is unstable and why it should be abolished. I believed there was a need for a science of society. I saw that the class struggle was inevitable. The struggle between capitalism and communism, or more simply, between the haves and the have-nots. It would be an economic civil war that would change politics forever. In 1871, after the Paris Commune rebellion, where the people of Paris fought against the government, I wrote a pamphlet, a short book, called The Civil War in France, which became famous. I hoped that the struggle for equality would occur peacefully, but feared that it would not, especially not in my lifetime. In 1883, I died at the age of 64, 2 years after the death of my wife Jenny, and I was buried in Highgate Cemetery in North London.